don't know about you, but I think it's really awesome and amazing and cool that campus is not only a light here in this community, but around the world. Amen. That's just a really cool deal. So thank you for that. I know I've told you guys a few stories, but I ever tell you the story about the first time I took my son Will to a break game at Turner Field? I know you guys know, a lot of you know how much he really loves baseball, loves the Braves. The first time we went, maybe you've been there so you know this, but the first time we went, we walked in, and as you come in Turner Field, you can't help but notice as you come around the corner that there is the largest drum I've ever seen. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen this drum? It's like a big bongo kind of drum. It's huge. And we walked in, we saw this thing, and we're just like standing in awe of it. It's like, that is the largest drum. I don't play the drums, but I would love to play that drum, because that is an enormous drum. I remember I took him over, I stood him in front of it, because it has the logo on it, the Braves logo. I got his picture in front of it. We like, that's the coolest thing we've ever seen. We go to the game, and if you've been to a game where it's tight, you know what happens. You're at the end of the game. Somebody, I don't know who, this would be the coolest job in the world. It's their job to start beating that drum, right? Boom, boom. And if you've been there, you know what happens. It's like a stadium full of robots, right? Arms go up, people start doing the chop, and they start singing this chant. It's like a whole group of cultish people coming together, and it's just unbelievable. There's no instructions given. There's no video screens with what to do next. It just happens, right? And you got to imagine, if you're outside the stadium, if you're blocks, maybe miles away, you hear it. Like, it's audible. The stadium is rocking. The place is shaking. Everyone is going for it, and everybody is all in. And it's unbelievable. The first time I experienced that, I was like, man, the church needs a drum. Something, right? Or when people beat it, arms go up, and voices chant, and people know miles away, something's going on. I am just convicted and confident this morning that God's plan has always been to unite the people of God for the purpose of God. And this morning, I want to suggest to you that purpose is for His people, for God's people to shine. Maybe you've read the words or heard the words in Matthew 5 where Jesus has gathered a group of disciples together from all over, different kinds of people, different walks of life, not that indifferent from those of us gathered this morning. And looking at these people who have all gathered around them, He says to them, you, all of you, you're the light of the world. Can you imagine what it would have been like to hear those words for the first time? You've just met this character named Jesus. You've seen a few things He's done. And He's telling you that you are the light and the hope of the world. What's it like for you to hear this word? I think what it's like for me. A little hard. I am fully aware, aren't you? I'm fully aware of my sin, of my brokenness, of my failures and my imperfection. If God's plan is for me and for you to be the light of the world's in trouble, right? We're messed up. And we're fully aware of our failures. And if it's up to us to be the light of the world, man, that's just a hard, how do we do that? But we try, don't we? We really try. We're trying to do the right things. We're trying to be the light of the world. We're trying to figure out what that means and how to do that because we want to be what Jesus wants us to be because we love Him. We really do. I want to share with you a couple of ways I think that plays out in our lives. This summer, we have some incredible interns. I'm going to invite them to the stage. These guys, we have three interns this summer that are working with our teenagers. And their names are Kevin Pugh, Sierra Baumler, and Chloe Birdwell, and they're coming to the stage. Brent Hall. Chloe, right here, is working with our college this summer. So we have four interns, three with our youth group and one with our college ministry this summer. And they are fantastic. They're going to help me out this morning as we go through this. I want to suggest to you a couple of kinds of light that we try to be in this world. Because I really do believe that as a church, we're trying to fulfill this calling and fulfill this mission, although we don't always get it right. And so, first up, if you guys, two people with a flashlight, will come this way. Here we go. This is Kevin. You may remember Kevin from last year. He's a really cool guy with a better mustache than I'll ever have. And this is Sierra. And these guys are going to show you what it's like for some of us, because some of us, if you'll turn those on, I feel if I say on and turn it on, if I say off, this is intern training also, so we'll see how that works. Y'all bear with us. Some of us are like this. We want to be the light to the world, the light of the world, so we have our lights on, right? Kind of like these flashlights. You may or may not be able to see that they are on right now, but they are. They are shining brightly. But the problem with our lights, well, there's a couple of problems, is we have been taught how to be good, have we not? We have been taught how to turn our lights on. But the thing about our light is it has a switch, and it has a battery. And sometimes we turn that light off, and sometimes the batteries just die and run out. We come back to church, and we get recharged, and they come back on, and we really get to know when to turn them on and when to turn them off, aren't we? We know that when we're here in places like this with people who know God and love God, with our families and with the family of God, we turn those lights on, and they're shining, and people can see them. But we also know when to turn them off. And we know when it's maybe not the best time to let everybody else know exactly what we believe and what we think, especially when it comes to God. When it comes to church, we've been taught how to do what's right, and we live decent lives and decent homes. We have decent jobs, we drive decent cars, and we're decent Christians, and we're making little or no impact on the world around us. Because at the end of the day, we're a light with a switch and a battery that runs out. Some of us, though, are like these candles. Chloe and Brent, if you guys will come over here. And when we talk about light, especially sermons about light, we talk a lot about candles, right? And we think, well, this is a cool thing. You know, we're lit. You know, we're burning. You know, we want to be the light of the world. We want to be on fire for Christ. We use that language. We want to shine like this. But let's be honest. If all we are is a bunch of little candles with little lights in a big, dark world, what impact is that going to make? If for a candle that has a wick and wax, it's going to run out one day. If I were to take these candles and maybe put a few of them in this room and we killed all the lights and it was completely dark, what difference would a couple of candles make? You'd see them. It wouldn't make a huge impact. That's too much darkness for that little light to overcome. And some of you have a light like this. It's a small light, right? And it's burning. You're fanning that flame. You want to be on fire for God. You want to shine for God. I mean, you want that. That's what you feel. But don't you feel lost sometimes? Don't you feel alone sometimes? Don't you feel like, man, is there anybody in this with me? Maybe you've known people love God, who are on fire for God all the time. They're not a candle, they're like a raging bonfire. And you're like, I wish I could be like that, but I don't know how to do that. All I have is my little light. And in a big dark room, in a big dark world, sometimes it just feels like there's more darkness than there is light. But thank you, God. We talk about light and what it is to be light. But we have to acknowledge that there is a big, dark world out there. Have I ever told you about when I was in high school? People ask you about your most embarrassing moments, and you never want to tell them. And I'm not real sure. I'll tell you. I've already got too deep. But I was in high school. I was in a course, and we stood on risers like these. And I remember one day, my dad was the course director, and it was a hot spring day, and we went to this church, Hunter Station Church of Christ. Some of you may know it. It was their, what do you call it, homecoming day. Remember those? We used to have those. And it was packed out. It was like 1,000 people there in this small little church building. It was hot outside because of all those bodies inside. It was hot inside. It was hot everywhere. The windows were open. The doors were open. We had church that morning. We had all the potluck, picnic, casserole, fried chicken you could eat. And then, hey, let's get these guys up there and let them sing. And so we did. And on top of that, all the girls are wearing their course dresses, and us guys are wearing our black suits. So it's like an oven, you know. It's like hot on top of hot on top of hot. And here we are, and I'm in this back row on these risers, and we're singing. And if you've ever done this before, you know what's the one rule. You know the one rule? Don't lock your knees. Yeah, I don't understand how this works medically, but it does. So I was up there, and I know this. It's hot, and your stomach is full of all this weird home-cooked food, and it's blazing, and we're singing, and all of a sudden, I had this feeling. I don't know if you've ever felt it. It was like slowly, the lights were moving dimmer, and the room started spinning. And I was singing, but I couldn't keep up. I didn't understand the problem. It was just a weird experience I may have I've ever had. And slowly but surely, it seemed like I was dreaming, like the lights were going out. And I didn't know this at the time because I was already out of it. My friends told me that I started like ping-ponging around the group. You know, of course, my dad is still directing. He didn't stop. Thanks, Dad. I'm going to die here, but the show must go on. And so they catch me. A couple of buddies catch me, realize that I'm not joking, that I'm like, you know, near-death experience here. And they lay me on the back of the stage by the pulpit, and a couple of doctors who do care about me run out from the audience and come up to make sure that I've survived whatever is going on with me. And, of course, they knew right away what had happened. But it was the weirdest experience to feel like the lights were just going out, right? And I was spinning away in darkness. This has always been the story, right, of the people of God. If you go back, and some of you know this, but if you go back and you look at God's plan has always been to unite a people of God for the purpose of God, and that purpose was to shine. It started really in Genesis 12 with Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham, and I want you to hear what that promise was, because it's an astounding promise. And God told Abraham these words. He said, I'm going to make you into a great nation, Genesis 12, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all, hear this, all people on the earth will be blessed through you. God's plan was to bring a group of people together, to unite a people together to fulfill the plan and purpose of God. And that purpose was for them to shine and be a light to all nations. But Israel, God's chosen people, failed so badly at this calling. They would follow God for a while, and they would walk away from God for a while, and they would be lost in sin. And then they would go into captivity and be enslaved by some nation. In fact, they're enslaved by another nation when Isaiah prophesied these words about the people of God. In Isaiah 49, God said this to the prophet Isaiah. He said, listen to me, all of you in distant lands, again, all nations, pay attention, you who are far away. The Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me by name. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, and you will bring me glory. You will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, to all nations. And you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. See, God's plan has always been to unite the people of God for the purpose of God. And that purpose has been that the people of God would shine, and that all nations, all people, all the way around the world would know that there is a God, and he has a son, and his name is Jesus. And his plan was for us to do that, right? But Israel failed at that. And so God fulfilled that prophecy of Isaiah, not through the nation of Israel, but through the person of Jesus. And Jesus came, and in John 8, Jesus says these words. He says, I am the light of the world. Amen. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So, Jesus, being the light, turns to you and to me. And he says, you are to be that light. You're not the source of the light, but you are to shine the light, so that all nations will know about my Father. You are the light of the world. And this is a beautiful thing, isn't it? That we, in our brokenness and in our mess and in all of the things that come into our lives and sometimes train wreck our lives, that even through that, God can shine and God can be honored. And the world sees that and knows something is different. Because there is a light and there's a hope that shines through you. It rises above the fray. And that light shines, and it's bright in dark places. I'll never forget, a few years ago, we were in Mexico. Whenever we go to Mexico on a mission trip, we always try to take time to go and take food to people who are hungry. And when you do that, God shakes you up, right? Because you see that not everyone has what we have, and not everyone enjoys what we enjoy. And so we take our money together and we go buy some groceries and we put together these food baskets that can serve, you know, a family for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, depending on the size of the family. And we went to this one family and it was just obvious right away that it was going to be a sad story. We could see by their faces. Sometimes you walk in, the people are full of joy, even despite the circumstances that these people were not. And this one child, other children were up for him, but this one child was just sitting there. And I love taking our teenagers there because they're awesome. They just go down, they get on their hands and knees, and they sit down and start talking to them in broken Spanish, right? Trying to get to know them a little bit. And the little kid, the little boy starts to smile. And we can see something's wrong. So we get our translator over here, we're talking more to this little guy, trying to figure out his name and what's going on with him. And finally we figure out that he's got shoes on, but we need to take off his shoes. And so we get down, we start undoing his shoes, his old ragged shoes, too small for his feet. Pull them off. We take his socks and start to pull them off. And what we realize is that this little boy had a birth defect. He had six toes on his foot. And the shoes that he had were not his shoes that had been given to him. And they were too small to begin with. And because of his feet and the way they were made, he was in pain. And I was so thankful that day. Not that God had brought us here, but God had slowed us down and down for a moment. That we could sit with his child and take off his shoes and take off his socks and see his pain and see his problem. And that day, God used that small group of teenagers to bring light to a dark place, to bring hope where there wasn't hope before, and smiles where there weren't smiles before, and joy where there was no joy before. And those guys rallied together and they fixed the problem. They know they did. They always do the right thing. In those moments, we did that thing too. And God was able, through them, through us, to do what God has always wanted to do. And that was simply to bring the people of God into a dark place and allow them to shine so that he could receive the glory and honor. Flashlights turn on and off, and the batteries run out. The candles, the wicks, and the wax, they blew away. Maybe one way, I can make it just in a small way, and it won't be perfect, but illustrate this point. If we could just turn all the lights off for a moment in the house, there'll still be some ambient light coming through, but if we can turn all the lights off in the house, it wouldn't dim them all down. Maybe one thing we could consider is, what would it be like if you and I were a mirror ball? Above me, you'll see, and they'll hit it with a light here, a really small mirror ball. And the cool thing about it is, it's not the size of the mirror ball that matters. It's the power and the brilliance of the light that matters. And church, what I want to tell you today is that it's not our size, and it's not all that we try to do that matters. It's that we stay in front of the light. We allow the light that is Jesus Christ to shine on us and shine through us. And seniors, if I could just say one thing to you this morning, if you hold on to one thing, if you just give me your eyes and your hearts for one moment, I want to say this. Position yourself in front of the light. You don't ever do that. Position yourself in front of the light that is Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer would say it this way, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. John would say that Jesus is the light of the world. If you walk in light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship with him. Guys, I want to ask you to position yourself in front of the light that is Jesus Christ. In church, don't we owe it to our children, to position ourselves in front of the light as well? It's not enough to show up to church and say that we were there. It's not enough to come here and to worship for a moment, to hear a great message, and to go home, and to have little or no impact on the world. If these guys are going to go off and they're going to shine and they're going to make an impact on the world, it's because they've seen you, their moms and their dads, their elders and their deacons, their teachers, and their everyone in the church, their volunteers, who have come in this place and then left this place. that made an impact in the world. And it's you. It's not just you. It's all of you. It's all of us. We are the light of the world. God's plan has always been and always is and is today that a people would come together, would unite together, to fulfill his purpose. And that purpose, God's plan, is that you would shine. Church, I want to ask you to stand. And today I want you to think about what it means to take light into dark places. What does it mean for you to position yourself in front of the light that is Jesus Christ? And for you, for all of you, to shine. So that people will see your good works and they will give glory and honor to your Father who is in heaven. One day we will walk into the light. Amen? We will walk into the light. And there will be no sun, there will be no stars, there will be no moon, for the light of the Lamb of God will fill the temple that is heaven. And his light will radiate and illuminate the place, and there will be no darkness or sadness. There will be no tears, no sorrow, no pain. And that is what we long for. Seniors, that is what your families long for. Since the day you were born, not that you would go off and make millions of dollars or drive nice cars or own nice homes, but that you would one day have a relationship with your Heavenly Father that will not end. Churches, they're going to have it. It starts with us. May we stand before the light in Jesus Christ. And it will expose everything about us. But that's okay. Because there is one who stands beside us. And it is his love, his grace, his